Throughout our history as Unitarian Universalists, there's a major theme that makes us who we are. We're made up of heretics. We like to challenge. Many believe Jesus, by challenging the doctrines and practices of the Jewish faith, was a heretic as well. His disciples and followers continued to challenge the main churches and areas they traveled until what evolved was a Christian church with its own doctrines and practices. And our founding father, one of them, Michael Servetus, was labeled a heretic for challenging those very practices and doctrines when he challenged whether the Trinity actually existed. He was joined by Francis David, who also challenged the idea that only one form of religious faith could be practiced in a city or town. Then Faustus Socinus joined him and declared Jesus was by nature only a man of great importance and notability, but only a man and not divine. And that discussion went on forever and ever and is still going on today, the divinity of Jesus. A discussion started to develop with the Unitarians on whether or not revelation or reason was more important in discerning true faith. Leaders in Unitarianism such as Ebenezer Gay and Ethan Allen led the argument, with Ebenezer declaring they were both equally important, and Ethan, who rejected all supernatural revelation and chose reason as the means by which he discerned what was right or wrong in his Christian faith. Meanwhile, the Universalists were challenging the very idea of selective salvation and a vengeful God. Elihan Winchester and Hosea Ballou led the effort to spread the word of a loving God who accepted all into heaven. A constant thread in our history is the defining and redefining understanding of what it means to be a Christian. William Ellery Channing set forth in his sermon, Unitarian Christianity, one such definition, which led to the split of the congregational churches, or what is now known as the United Church of Christ, and the Unitarian churches. In fact, if you go to Boston and the East Coast, you will see in a church common, you'll either see a Unitarian church or a Congregational church. That's the church that won the fight in that town. And down the street, you'll see the other one. Every 20 to 30 years throughout the 1800s and early 1900s, new definitions were created and new tensions were made. While the defining and redefining of the Christian church was happening, another idea was introduced by Reverend Dr. Theodore Parker, which got him kicked out of the church. He sermonized about the transient and permanent nature of Christianity. He suggested the doctrines, practices, and even definitions of Christianity were transient or only temporary because they were created by humans. It was the true religion, such as the teaching from Jesus of love, compassion, and justice, which remained permanent. Even though he got kicked out of the church, he continued to preach in public areas, and they eventually let him back in the church because more people were attending his sermons than going to church. Then we had the transcendental period with Ralph Waldo Emerson challenging whether people had to even go to church to practice religion, as well as have ministers be the mediators between people and God. He suggested we each have our own divine spark of awareness and truth, which we can engage without the help of any clergy. And he said that at a divinity school address. Luckily, he went off in the woods and he left the church instead of getting kicked out. At the end of the 1800s, William Channing Gannett composed Things Commonly Believed Among Us as a way to encompass the growing disparity between Christian-centered Unitarians and those who lean toward a post-Christian Unitarianism. And here's what he proposed. We believe that to love the good and to live the good is the supreme thing in religion. We hold reason and conscience to be final authorities in matters of religious belief. We honor the Bible and all-inspiring scripture, old and new. We revere Jesus and all holy souls that have taught men truth and righteousness and love as prophets of religion. We believe in the growing nobility of man. We trust the unfolding universe as beautiful, beneficent, unchanging order. To know this order is truth, to obey it is right, and liberty and stronger life. We believe that good and evil invariably carry their own recompense, no good thing being failure and no evil thing success, that heaven and hell are states of being, that no evil can befall the good man in either life or death, that all things work together for the victory of the good. We believe that we ought to join hands and work to make good things better and the worst good, counting nothing good for self that is not good for all. We believe that this self-forgetting, loyal life awakes in man, this was the 1800s, the sense of union here and now with things eternal, the sense of deathlessness, and the sense is to us an earnest of the life to come. We worship all in one and all that life when sun and stars derive their orbits and the soul of man its ought. The light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world, giving us power to become the sons of God, that love which our souls commune. That was in the 1800s. Many of those themes still carry today if you look at our principles. As we enter into the early 1900s, we find a new understanding of how to model the life of Jesus through social justice work. This is when the social gospel was happening. Unitarians took up causes such as education and public works. Universalists worked on causes that affected the poor and immigrants. Up until this time, Christianity was still a foundation for the Unitarian and Universalist Church. You wouldn't go to any of the churches and not have Christianity as a core understanding. It wasn't until the 1920s and 30s we started to see the emergence of humanism, which is the belief of humans are capable of bettering the world through their own efforts without divine intervention. During this time, Curtis Rees and John Dietrich led the effort to bring humanism to the Unitarian Church, and it caught like wildfire and spread quite quickly. To the point, the movement started removing God and Christian language from worship. This was what was needed for the people at the time, as well as into the future. When Unitarians and Universalists merged in the 1960s, the hardest reconciliation was between the Unitarian humanism and the Universalist Christianity. This is what led to the statement in our Words of Wisdom by Gordon McKeeman. To try to encompass all that both brought into this new relationship, the principles and sources were created, and you can find them in your hymnals or on your order of service to find out what those are if you aren't familiar with them. So, what's my point in all this history? We have always challenged, we have always defined and redefined what it means to be Unitarian, Universalist, and Unitarian Universalist. It's in the DNA of our faith, just to challenge, just to push, just attend a congregational meeting. However, one strand of that DNA still causes harm in our community, of which I have heard over and over again, not just within these walls, but our larger faith. It is the dismissive and sometimes outright rejection of Christianity. In talking with people who are part of this very community, I heard some of the following comments. It feels a bit like a bit more of an indulgence of my naiveness by others, almost like, oh, you poor dear, you must believe in fairy tales too, type of response. People are willing to accept me as a person, but can't accept to what I believe. If I were Hindu or Buddhist, I would be accepted because I was following a non-Anglo religion. As a Christian, I am viewed as someone who drank the Kool-Aid and succumbed to pressure to believe a nice story. In groups and such within the church, people feel it okay to make jokes about Christianity, and it hurts to hear. It pains me to hear people within our very walls and who are part of our community not be accepted for who they are and what they believe. This is an auction sermon. This was a sermon that was bought by someone in the congregation and asked me to preach on it. Thank you, Ronnie. Ronnie identifies as Christian and wanted this brought into our community to address how we can be more accepting. Yes, we have challenged and redefined throughout our history. But we have also made a point to create principles such as We covenant to affirm and promote acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations, as well as a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. In our sources, we have listed Christian teachings as a place to find wisdom. I have to admit, I'm just as guilty in not truly understanding the faith of Christianity. It was very apparent to me when we were brainstorming worship ideas for Easter. And not growing up in the church, I always thought it was a really sad, grief-filled holiday. Always. So therefore, our services were a little more solemn and a little bit more grief-filled. So as we were brainstorming this last Easter service, I started hearing from people, can we have a little more joy? You know, when you go into a Christian church, they are in praise mode. They're happy. They're joyful. And so it took me a moment to learn and grow in the understanding of the joy and the grace that people have received in the life of Jesus and in the resurrection of his spirit. And so hopefully people noticed Easter was a little bit more joyful this year. Thank you, Sharon, for helping with that. And everyone else. She did the thank you, Jesus. I understand the hesitancy to accept Christianity, especially how it is used in our political sphere right now, or how it is used to create divisions among people as well as encourage injustice. I understand the reluctance to embrace a religion that may have been harmful to you in your life. None of these, however, allow us to determine to dismiss or joke about those whose beliefs center in Christianity. Not everyone has been harmed by this tradition. There are those among us who have been comforted, loved, and supported in their life by people in the Christian faith and the faith itself. There are many reasons they have decided to be in community with us. This is where your curiosity can bloom. Instead of dismissing, I encourage you to start a conversation to learn what brings them comfort, hope, and joy in their Christian faith. It is truly beautiful when you do. Just as it is when others are asked about Buddhism, humanism, Islam, or any other religion. Most often when I engage in these conversations, I find I can believe in what they define as Christianity. As Unitarian minister Reverend William James Potter states in his sermon, What is Christianity and What is It to Be Christian? It seemed to me that to be a Christian or a follower of Christ was to strive after those gracious spiritual virtues that he possessed, to have his disinterested earnestness and devotion, his gentleness, his purity, his power to rebuke inequity, there we go, his love and his self-sacrifice. It was to live like him, to bear witness to the truth, and to go about doing good to one fellow man. To all who identify as Christian, or who have brought friends that identify as Christian, I apologize for any harm I have done or permitted to be done. I vow to be better in my acceptance and understanding, as well as encourage others in our community to do so. May we all be inspired, whether we believe in Jesus Christ or not, to strive to pursue the spiritual virtues he possessed. Amen.